I do have a special regard for that song. That's the first song where I learned to sing the bass. And had many who helped me out and taught me on that, and praise God for them. Also rejoice in the Lord for the tremendous talent that He has given to this assembly. We are so greatly blessed and rejoice in the Lord for it. I want to turn this morning to the 11th chapter of Numbers. Numbers 11. And let's go down to verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, Is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And for the next few weeks, I want to begin a new series on the hand of the Lord. And we're going to see a number of manifestations of that hand as we go on in these lessons. And again, the first one, simply entitled, Is the Lord's Hand Waxed Short? And, of course, that the essence of that is, will God come short of what he promised. And of course, the answer is absolutely not. God is going to fulfill every promise that he made to Israel and indeed unto us. And so we rejoice in the Lord. Thank you. It is good to ponder and to meditate upon God's word. And this is certainly something to meditate upon as we begin to think on him, as we begin to consider the word of God, as we consider what God's purpose is for our lives. And this is something we must understand, is that God does have great purposes for us individually. He has great purposes for the church, for Israel, but this is a time when we must concentrate, what does God want me to do? We are individual members of the body, all of us very important members of the body, and we need to understand and indeed remember that. And so here in verse 23 of Numbers 11, the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? And again, a resounding no to that. Let's continue with some of these verses here. How this came to be. Verse 24, Moses went out, and he told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. Verse 25, the Lord came down in a cloud, and he spoke unto him, and he took of the spirit that was upon him. That is, he took of the spirit that was upon Moses, and he gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass, when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. Verse 26, but there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. The priest rested upon, rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man, and he told Moses, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Verse 28, Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, my lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets. That is, that all of God's people would give forth the word of God. And that's exactly what God intends. And that the Lord would put his spirit upon them. And so Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel. Verse 31, God had promised them meat to eat. And so there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp. And as it were, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And this people stood up all that day, all that night, all the next day. They gathered up the quails that he that gathered 10 homers, and they spread them abroad for themselves round about the camp. While the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people. And the Lord smote people with a very great plague. And he called the name of that place Kibroth Hattaavah, because they buried the people that lusted. And the people journeyed from that place unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. And so this was a time of great rebellion on the part of Israel. They did that quite often. We must keep in mind that God has promised that Israel is going to reign. Jesus is going to reign, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and Israel is going to be, he's going to do that through the nation of Israel. That is going to happen despite everything that we see now, despite the rebellion, the unbelief, and the setting aside of Israel during this age. God is still going to honor all of those promises. And we rejoice today because God is one indeed who keeps his promises. promises. And so God is so faithful indeed to deliver his saints, so faithful to keep his promises. I had some more notes here that I have somehow misplaced, but that's all right. We'll see if we can simply do this from memory. And the thing that we want to notice is that we need to remember. Paul said in his writings, "Follow me as I follow Christ." One of the great things that you and I need to remember is that we have not encountered any difficulty, nor will we ever encounter any difficulty, that Jesus has not already done. He's already been there. And so talk about him able to understand us and able to minister to us. That is exactly what he is able to do. And again, I want to impress upon us, this is a very personal ministry. When I speak of a personal ministry of Jesus unto ourselves, I'm speaking of the idea that he is ministering to me as though no one else were even around. And that's how personal that he is to us. That's how personal he must become unto us. And so we indeed lay hold of him in that matter. Let's see if I can find my verse here. Well, I don't see it here. But anyway, Jesus himself outlined his ministry. And it really is the same ministry for us. Scripture tells us there in the book of Luke that Jesus said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He quoted that from Isaiah. And he went on to say that he has anointed me. And that really means that God poured out his Spirit. It is as though he laid his hand upon Jesus himself, which is exactly what he did, what the Spirit did. And so the Spirit of God was upon Jesus. And he has anointed him in order to, the first thing I think that is mentioned there is to preach the gospel. That is the number one priority. That's the number one priority that you and I must have in our lives, preaching the gospel. And he spoke of being anointing the eyes of the blind and restoring sight unto the blind. And then the last one was preaching the acceptable day of the Lord. This is the one I fear that is not being preached today. Men are talking about doing all of these things in the next 50 years, and we've seen that on TV and how that they, in the next 50 years, they got all outlined and everything. The only way they're going to do that is when Jesus takes his throne and he begins his 1,000-year reign. We can be greatly encouraged today because I think we are right at the door of that. Believe that the things that are happening in the Middle East. Remember that Scripture firmly says that when they say peace and safety, then come a sudden destruction. The final fulfillment of that is in the middle of the tribulation period. But since Paul wrote that to the Thessalonian saints, I think he was telling them that there could be a time of peace and safety before Jesus comes for his bride. And so can we look on those things that are happening in the Middle East and men touting that this is peace, peace, peace? Of course, Scripture says there is no peace. But it's just when they say there's peace and safety. And so I think this is a real sign of the time when Jesus is going to come again. And that is what just lifts up our hearts. And we begin to rejoice because your redemption draweth nigh. And that's what Jesus said to do. When you see these things come to pass, then rejoice. Lift up your heads, rejoice, for your redemption draweth nigh. The redemption he's talking about is our transport out of this world into glory. And that is what we are looking for in our world today. And so as we continue on with our lives, let us remember the number one priority for each one of us, looking unto Jesus. We must have our eyes upon him, not on any of our accomplishments or indeed on our failures, mistakes, and all of these, as some people like to do. Our attention must be focused on Jesus himself, looking full into his face. This is what God intends for us. It is what Jesus intends for us. And so thank the Lord for this time that we have together. About 20 minutes to 12, but we're going to go ahead and dismiss the service for this morning. And then we will meet downstairs and we will continue on later with the afternoon service. So shall we stand and be dismissed?